A lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 8. This lesson will serve as the basis for our sermon this evening. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. You will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. This is the word of the Lord. God our Father, you made us, and we belong to you. Keep us mindful of your goodness, that with thankful hearts we may sing your praise, who alone is worthy of honor and glory, together with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A second lesson from Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. As the Apostle Paul describes, he could be content and thankful in any circumstances. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord. We join together in singing hymn 612. Dear friends, once again we've come to the evening right before the national holiday of Thanksgiving Day. Maybe you've heard, as I have in the last few days, the question, well, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? For some, but not for everyone, it means a day off of work. For many, there will be turkey to eat. Maybe a favorite pie. Maybe some part of the meal that you only make on that one special day every year, and you're looking forward to trying whatever it is once again. Perhaps you'll tune into a football game, or two, or three. Maybe you'll go outside and play a football game. However exactly you celebrate and spend your Thanksgiving Day, you're likely to run into this common piece of advice. Count your blessings. You've heard that before, right? Count your blessings. That's what Thanksgiving Day is all about, right? Count your blessings. List all the good and happy and positive things that you can about your life and your possessions and your family. And of course, the implication is we just don't do enough of that otherwise. You know, the rest of the year, we spend times focusing on the things that are wrong, that make us sad. We focus on the frustrations of this life. So we better take this one day, this special day, Focus on the positive. Think about those good things. Count your blessings. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong with counting your blessings. There's nothing wrong with finding the positives when sometimes we do feel kind of stuck thinking about the negatives. But counting your blessings is incomplete. It's only part of the story. This advice doesn't go far enough. Our sermon text this evening from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy gives us the rest of the advice that we need to hear. It tells us not just to count our blessings, but to remember the Lord with thanksgiving. Now, this text suggests that our biggest problem is not forgetting all the good things that we have. Yet, sometimes we do take things for granted. So, maybe it's good for us to spend some time counting our blessings. Sometimes we get too focused on the negative things in our lives, but I think overall, we realize that we have many good things. We're pretty proud of our achievements, our accomplishments. We're generally pleased with our stations in life. What we don't always do well, though, is to remember what it means, what it looks like in our lives to be truly thankful. We don't always remember the Lord with thanksgiving. And so that's why we've gathered this evening, and that's why we're pausing for a moment to consider the words recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8. These words were first shared with God's Old Testament Israelites on their way to the Promised Land. They were getting there. Pretty soon, they would be done wandering in the wilderness, that consequence that God had given them because of their grumbling against Him. Pretty soon, they would be entering this Promised Land. They would settle there, this land that God was giving to them. And it was a good land. The Bible describes it several times over as a land flowing with milk and honey. Israelite spies had already seen for themselves just how productive this land could be. And the Israelites had a special promise from God. As long as they continued to obey His commands, He would bless them and make this land produce for them all they needed and even more. So the words of our text anticipate the time when the Israelites would be fully settled into that promised land. They'd be able to build fine houses and grow crops. They'd be able to raise large flocks of animals. Their wealth would increase. And God warned them not to forget about Him when these things took place. God would still be with them in the land, just as He had been through all their wanderings in the wilderness. He would be with them, and He would be the one to provide all these blessings for them. But they needed to be reminded. They didn't need to be reminded of the blessings themselves. Those would be obvious. But they needed to be reminded of the one who was giving them those blessings. Because this aspect would not always be obvious to them. Those Israelites, like so many other people throughout the ages, would at times focus too much on the stuff, on the possessions, on the property, and not so much on the giver of these good gifts. They would face the temptation to forget about God, to forget about His laws. and to really to trust in those things that they had accumulated. In a similar way, Psalm 62 verse 10 warns, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Warnings like this abound throughout the New Testament as well. Simply counting your blessings can actually lead us to focus too much on those blessings and not enough on the source of those blessings. See, that's the dangerous and the insidious work of our sinful natures. They take these truly good and beneficial things, gracious gifts from God, and twist them and turn them into spiritual dangers in our lives. When we focus on the material things, when we focus on the possessions and the riches that we have, our sinful natures always crave more. They're never satisfied. It's never enough. And this goes all the way back to our very first parents, and when they lived in absolute and glorious perfection. They had everything they could need and everything they could want, and yet the devil convinced them that something was missing. That something could make their lives better. Something more was necessary. Things could improve for them. And they stopped being content. And they stopped being thankful for all the blessings that were theirs. And you and I and every other inhabitant of this world since them have struggled with true thanksgiving from that time forward. It gets so bad that we go even so far as to take credit for what we have instead of giving thanks. One of the warnings given to Israel in our text was, don't say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. You know that temptation. You've worked hard for the things that you have. You've worked hard to be in a position maybe to retire comfortably. You know the labor that goes into acquiring things or even preparing to acquire things. So God reminds you, God reminds us of the same thing that He reminded the Israelites. Who gives you the ability to work? Who gives you the wisdom to plan? Who gives you the world in which you work and live and the seasons that make your land productive? But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. This is an important lesson. A lesson on remembering the Lord. It was important for the Israelites. It remains important for us today, for both us and them. It's important, not primarily so that we remember to say thank you or to give thanks properly, but it's important because of the implications of not giving thanks to God. Were the Israelites to forget about the Lord and to rely on themselves? Well, then they would also forget about His promises. They would forget that He had promised them a Savior. Their ingratitude was a symptom of their sinfulness, and the only solution was the Savior whom God had promised to send. Do you see the connection? Do you see why Thanksgiving is so important and so significant for us as well? God has kept this promise. He gave us, He gave the whole world, the most amazing blessing ever. He sent His Son to take our place. And Jesus lived a life of perfect thanksgiving. A life of perfect everything. And so He's given us our greatest reason to give thanks to God. But we are so prone to forgetting. Our struggles against our own sinful nature mean that we can easily overlook God's blessings. We can even easily overlook God's greatest blessing, and therefore we can lose what Jesus has given to us. Tonight's gospel, you heard how Jesus healed 10 men from leprosy, that dreaded disease. But only one acknowledged the giver of this very unique and special gift. Only of that one did Jesus say, "Your faith has made you well." Even though they had all been blessed in this amazing way. You see, our thankfulness is an expression of our faith. When we remember the Lord with thanksgiving, then we also seek to do His will in our lives. That's what giving thanks looks like. We'll offer our thanks not only in our words, in our songs, in our prayers, but also in our actions and in our attitudes. Yes, we will count our blessings, but more importantly, we will remember the one who gave them all to us. But we might ask, what about those who don't have many blessings to count? What about those who may not live in a land flowing with milk and honey? What about us when what is on our minds is not the many and wonderful gifts that God has given to us, but the difficulties that we're facing? What are we to do when Thanksgiving Day rolls around and somebody special to us is not there to celebrate with us? What are we to do when someone special is there, but we're not sure whether this might be the last time we get to celebrate with him or with her? What about when we've lost a job, when the stock market has taken a turn, when our grades are suffering, or our relationships are strained? God has an amazing way, actually, of using these very difficulties to accomplish good for us. In many cases, these are the times when God most clearly shows us and demonstrates to us that He does indeed deserve our thanks. In difficulties, we remember God's goodness. The Israelites, think about them. They had no choice but to depend on God as they traveled through that vast and dreadful desert, a thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. It was clear at that time who provided the blessings when water flowed out of rock for them. Or when bread miraculously materialized on the desert floor. At those times, even at those times, God gave his people all that they needed to sustain their bodies, to sustain their lives. He never stopped providing for them their daily bread. They always had something for which to give thanks. And so do you. When a loved one is gone from you, God is always with you. When times are tough, he invites you to rely on him. We can depend completely on no other relationship, and yet God assures us that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And ultimately, he has promised that through Jesus, we will finally leave this world, this vast and endless desert wilderness of this world, to join him in our heavenly promised land. We have every reason to give thanks. We have every reason to remember the Lord with thanksgiving, not only today or tomorrow, but all our lives and forever. Amen.